Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
From KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute, on air and online, this is Intersection.
Hello and welcome to Intersection, where people and ideas meet. I'm Ruben Stern. As you've probably heard, changes are underway with the flights going in and out of Columbia Regional Airport. Starting in November, a direct flight will connect Columbia with Orlando, Florida, but no longer connect Columbia to Memphis. Recently added direct flights to Atlanta will continue. The new destinations are a sign of progress for the many people, including the mayor, who have made it a priority to grow the airport. And there are other things in the works: an expanded airport terminal, financial guarantees to lure additional flights, and maybe even changes to the way the airport is managed. But plenty of questions still remain. Is Columbia on track to ever see direct flights between here and, say, Chicago or Dallas or Denver? What lessons might Columbia learn from other airports, and where will the money come from to make these things happen? Joining me in the studio to help us understand the latest on the Columbia Regional Airport, first, Bob McDavid is the mayor of Columbia. He's been spearheading a lot of the efforts to expand the airport service. Welcome back to our program, Bob McDavid.
Pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you with us today. We also have in the studio Christy Ray. She's the Executive Vice President of the Columbia Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to the program, Christy Ray.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you with us as well. We also have on the phone for the first part of our program, Trevor Banstetter. He's the Senior Manager for Corporate Communications for Delta Airlines. Welcome to our program, Trevor Banstetter.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
Glad to have you with us as well. We hope that you in the audience will join the conversation too. How likely are you to use the flight service between Columbia and Atlanta, or perhaps Columbia and Orlando? Give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. And Trevor, I want to start with a question for you. What does an airline like Delta look for when deciding whether to expand flight options to an airport or a city or a region?
Sure, that's a great question, Ruben. And, you know, there's a lot of things we look at. We do an enormous amount of market research at a large airline like Delta. And you know, we serve communities of varying sizes across the country. And more than anything, the number one factor, I think, that indicates whether an airline is going to be successful in a market and whether you might see growth over the long term is really when the community supports the service. If people buy tickets and get on the planes and travel regularly. You know, with a community like Columbia, you do have two cities within driving distance in St. Louis and Kansas City, where you can drive and fly out of those airports. But having, you know, when you have the option to take that flight right out of Columbia, that really sends a message to the airlines that the travelers in the city are going to take advantage of the service there, and that's a service that can be successful. And that's particularly important, I think, for the business travelers, because in the market today, the business travelers are enormously important. They generate a majority of the revenue for the airlines. And so when you've got your business travelers who are consistently choosing to go to the airport and fly the local service that you get, that's what really is going to make the difference.
And how do you assess that if the service isn't there yet?
Well, you know, you can look at various factors to see whether it's going to develop, but really the best indicator is how it's doing at any given time. You know, when you put in a new flight like we've done in Columbia, you do expect that it's going to ramp up over time. You do give it some time to develop the market. But at some point, you have to decide whether or not that market's really there.
Right. Now, you mentioned business travel. How much in Columbia is that a driver of the efforts to get the airline expansion going? Mayor McDavid, maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
It's a huge factor. There are two economic groups that for whom the airport is extremely important. Well, one of them is the University of Missouri. The University of Missouri has made great inroads into recruiting out-of-state students. I'm told that we will probably have more Chicago students at the University of Missouri within 2 or 3 years than Kansas City students. Given the fact that the University of Missouri is a value proposition when compared against a lot of schools, when you compare tuition and fees. And given the fact that these students pay out-of-state tuition, which is $20,000 as opposed to the $9,000 for in-state tuition, it really helps the university deal with the cutbacks that have been all across the nation in support of public education. So having a market into the SEC through our great Delta partnership, Delta is the anchor of our air travel system in Columbia and always will be. With that in mind, we will support them. We want them to grow. We appreciate the three flights we're going to have through Atlanta. But for also for us, we have to develop a Chicago connection, and we have to have a westward connection. It's interesting that of the 980 passengers who fly out of this market a day, the top two leading destinations are, in fact, Denver and Los Angeles. So the Southeast gives us, through Atlanta with their 250 destinations or 600 international flights a week, the business traveler can get anywhere east, anywhere in Europe. It's a great connection anywhere in the Southeast. And it's a priority for us to develop the same type of service west also.
Okay. For those of you in our audience, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about ongoing efforts to expand service at Columbia Regional Airport. Joining me in the studio are Columbia Mayor Bob McDavid, Executive Vice President of the Columbia Chamber of Commerce, Christy Ray, and on the phone, Delta Airlines Senior Manager for Corporate Communications, Trevor Banstetter. For those of you in the audience, have you flown through Columbia Regional Airport recently? If so, what was your experience like? We'd love to hear your story. Give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. And we'd like to remind you that Intersection is broadcast live every Monday at 2 on KBIA and online at kbia.org. You can be part of our conversation at that time, and you can also watch our video stream by going to kbia.org and following the link for Intersection. Trevor, you mentioned the business traveler part. I want to ask you about a couple of other things that have been part of the conversation here in Columbia. First of all, how important are facilities to the airport decisions that an airline like Delta would make?
Well, you know, we definitely want our airports that we operate in to have good facilities. I mean, it really is critical, I think, for a community that wants to establish and maintain service to have good, adequate facilities so travelers passing through there can certainly be comfortable, that they can get what they need for all their travel, and that it can be, you know, convenient and efficient and well-planned. I think also airlines definitely look to the cost equation for airports, that it's a good cost-efficient airport that facilitates doing business there. So that is definitely, you know, that can definitely be a piece of the equation.
And how does it rank in terms of other things? I mean, one of the other things being talked about are financial incentives, revenue guarantees to help protect airlines against losses on certain new routes. I mean, how does that rank with facilities, with business market, things like that?
I think these are all tools that communities can use with varying degrees of effectiveness, I think, to maintain and to bring in more airline service. You know, things like revenue guarantees, for example, I think of when Delta partnered with the city of Pittsburgh to launch a nonstop flight between Pittsburgh and Paris, which, you know, the city had been lacking in nonstop flights to Europe. So it was really an important flight for the community, and it was a flight that initially did have a revenue guarantee, and after a couple of years in service, the guarantee ended, but the flight at that point was self-sustaining, so we were able to maintain it and still continue to operate that flight even without the revenue guarantee. So I think that ideally, you know, you can really, while that could be a tool to, you know, perhaps get something started, I think airlines really like to see service that can sustain itself and be successful without having to actually have a guarantee in place.
Right. But in terms of weighting those, I mean, if Columbia were only able to come up with one of the three that we've talked about so far, which one would be the most important to an airline?
Well, you know, absolutely, it's that first point I talked about, and that's really having the community and the travelers embrace the service and use it on a regular basis. Because without that, you know, it's hard to justify operating a route.
Right. I'm going to bring our other guests in, but we've only got Trevor on the phone for a little bit here, and I want to ask you a couple of other things. You know, the mayor pointed out that a large portion of the people flying out of Colombia go westward, and I'm just wondering how compelling that is to Delta, for example. You have a hub in Salt Lake City, for example.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, and you know, I wish I was able to announce new service today here, and unfortunately I'm not, but you know, looking ahead, it's the kind of thing that I think when we look at markets and we look at where those connections are going and see the different demand lines, you know, when we adjust our schedules and create our schedules for the coming year, that's exactly the kind of thing we look at. So, you know, we might look at, say, our hub in Salt Lake City as a way to connect Colombia to the West Coast if we really feel like there's you know, a really strong demand for it. So, you know, it kind of goes back again to that first point I made is that where, you know, where the passengers are going, we definitely see that. And you know, we use our analytics here in Atlanta to try to figure out where to best put our network in to meet that customer demand. So mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing that, you know, we'll see what happens. But if the market really, really does well, then and we feel like there's an argument for future growth, it's something you might see.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about the switch from Memphis to Atlanta as a destination from Colombia and why you all made that decision?
You know, it's interesting because going back, I mean, certainly, you know, I'm a Mizzou grad from 92, and, you know, I recall flying a few times to the airport, and as I recall, the service was typically to St. Louis or Kansas City. And today, while those are great cities, I'm a native of St. Louis, they really don't match up to a true international hub like we have in Atlanta. And being able to put a nonstop flight connecting Colombia to Atlanta really opens up our international network to people in Colombia. Because from Atlanta, we serve it's a total of about 70 international destinations in Europe, in Latin America, in Africa, and we even serve Asia from Atlanta. You know, not a whole lot of East Coast nonstop flights to Asia, but we do have a nonstop flight to Tokyo. And from there, you can get to a variety of spots across Asia on Delta. So it's really the kind of route that makes a lot of sense when you look at the types of places that Columbia travelers can now get to. And certainly the university there with the, you know, large contingent of international students and faculty associated with it, I think that's going to be a huge benefit.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. In terms of that international audience, I mean, do you consider the student load coming back and forth to the university to be in that lump with business travel?
Well, you know, it's funny because what we call business travel, you think of a you know, a guy in a business suit and a briefcase, but that's not necessarily the business traveler. It could certainly be a student or a faculty member. You know, typically a business traveler is someone who travels with some regularity, you know, who will sometimes pay for the higher level fares, things like refundable fares and such, you know, when they want the flexibility of to be able to travel to meet their specific needs. So it certainly, I think the university is probably a pretty huge source of business travel for us.
Okay. I want to ask you one last question before we bring in the other panelists who are in the studio with me. Our city manager has put into a budget sort of a recommendation for revenue guarantees that would be around $3 million. And I just wonder from your perspective, how far would $3 million go in guaranteeing flights and opening up new destinations?
You know, I can't really speak specifically to that proposal, unfortunately. But, you know, I can say again that I think the advantage of a revenue guarantee is it does help, again, with sort of, you know, maybe starting and supporting new service. And then the hope is that, you know, that over time there's a market there that organically grows with it. Because at the end of the day, ultimately, all revenue guarantees typically have a ending point. And so it's the kind of thing that, you know, if we were interested in this, we would work closely with the city to sort of see exactly what could be done with it.
Okay.
So it's a tool, but, you know, it's really got to be supported, I think, by the travelers there.
Right. Okay. Trevor Bansetter, Senior Manager for Corporate Communications for Delta Airlines, thanks for joining us today on the program.
Great. Thank you so much. I was really, really thrilled to be here.
Great. And glad to have you. Glad to have your insights. For those of you in the audience, again, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA, the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today, we're talking about ongoing efforts to expand service at Columbia Regional Airport. Joining me in the studio are Columbia Mayor Bob McDavid and Executive Vice President of the Columbia Chamber of Commerce, Christy Ray. On the phone, you just heard from Delta Airlines Senior Manager for Corporate Communications, Trevor Banstetter. For those of you in the audience, what changes would you like to see related to travel in or out of Columbia Regional Airport? We'd love to hear your ideas. So give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. I want to talk a little bit about the revenue guarantees. Christy, the Chamber of Commerce has lined up a lot of support from the business community, right?
That's correct. I thought it was an interesting comment about does the business community support this. Our efforts to partner with the university and the city and the county and many other partners has been just extremely, extremely successful. We have businesses that have stepped forward to say, we will support this airport, some of them financially, and some of them have just said we will commit to using this airport. They know how important it is. I had one banker tell me they're this is not only important to my employees that are going to training during the week, it's important to my family to get where they want to go on the weekend. And so it is an issue that affects all citizens of Columbia, and the business community has really stepped up to support that.
Now, what's the goal in terms of, is there a dollar amount that you're hoping the business community will get up to? So far, it's what, about $475,000?
Actually,
right?
We're more than that now, thanks to a lot of support. Not only, you have to realize, this is not coming just from Columbia. We have people supporting this from Boonville. We have people supporting this from Jefferson City. And so it's coming from all over mid-Missouri, because you've got to remember, this airport is a regional asset. And so they realize that. The dollar amount, we would love to see the business community support this to a tune of $1 million. And we are not there yet, but we are well on our way and probably even farther along than we had hoped to be.
How far along is that in terms of, do you have a figure that they've gotten to now? The Tribune reported, like, I think, 475.
That was some time ago, but right. We've done another effort this last couple of weeks. And so, again, I'm hesitant to say exactly because it changes daily. We are constantly getting emails from people saying we want to be part of this. And so it does fluctuate. We are well over 50% of our goal and probably closer to 60.
Wow. And in terms of the business community, I mean, what are you hearing from them that they need that is not quite happening yet out there?
I think we all realize that when it comes to air service, especially business travel, it comes down to two things: fares and reliability. If we have air service that is comparable, if we have fares that are comparable to St. Louis or Kansas City, sure, who wouldn't love to just go get on an airplane right here in Columbia instead of having to drive that 2 hours to the airport? So if the fares are comparable, people will use it. The airlines understand, and we understand, that it also has to be reliable. The first time a business traveler misses a connection or misses a meeting because of unreliable service makes it very difficult. So if we can address those two things with the airlines, then I have no doubt that everyone in Columbia would support it.
Right. Now, Mayor McDavid, you've been running a lot of these traps to try to make these things happen and involved in a lot of these conversations. What are the biggest obstacles that you're running up against as you attempt to get more service in and out of that airport?
The biggest obstacle is dealing with the airlines as corporate entities. Airlines, it's a tough business. I mean, you can look at the string of bankruptcies going back over a generation. Airlines that, many of us grew up with that are no longer in existence. They have three huge costs that they don't have much control over. One is fuel, two is labor, and three is the capital cost of the airplanes. So it's a very expensive business. So when you talk to them, the first thing that's important is, you got to get into the door, because each of these major airlines, could take phone calls from 30 communities like us a day. The second thing that you have to do is to have as good an understanding of their business model as you can. What's it cost? What are they looking at? What are they? How are they going to rate us? If we're going to be on a list with some other people, it'd be nice to know what metrics they're using for that. That's sort of the way we look at this. You have to look at the financial integrity of the different airlines. You have to look at their markets. You have to look at what they're looking for. Airlines are looking to make a profit. A major airline is not going to come to Columbia because they have a graduate on their staff.
Right.
They're not going to come here because of they're not going to put because of our football team. They're going to come here because in the free market they think they can make money here, and we understand that. So, you know, we spend time, believe it or not, reviewing quarterly reports. We want to know how expensive their business model is. We want to know and think we do have a handle on how much it costs them to operate the big, more fuel-efficient jets, and we want to know how much it costs them to operate the smaller jets, which are less fuel-efficient and are substantially more expensive to operate. Those are the ones we're likely to get into Columbia. And so we have to make sure that when we go after this service that we can meet the metrics they're going to be looking for. We spent a lot of time doing that.
And how did the Frontier Airlines flights to Orlando, how did that happen?
You know, this is I'm speculating here. There's a model for airlines that's different than what we normally think of with the American Delta United model. And this is, I call it the resort model. So you got an Airbus 319 in Orlando. Very fuel-efficient plane. You can put 138 passengers on it. So on Monday morning, we're going to fly it to Paducah, Kentucky, and back. On Monday afternoon, we're going to fly it to Columbus, Ohio, and back. On Tuesday morning, we're flying it to Columbia, Missouri, and back. So they take multiple destinations. We have two flights a week to Orlando as part of this model. And, you know, it gives us Tuesdays and Saturdays service. So it's not going to be the kind of service that you as a businessman can say, well, you know, I got to be out of here at 6 o'clock on Wednesday morning. Travel, recreation travel, tends to be more discretionary anyway. So this is a different model. It offers some advantages to us. We plan to take advantages. We take advantage of those assets. It's not going to be the type of solution to what we're looking for long term, though.
Right. And how did it come about in terms of actually getting Frontier Airlines to say, okay, Columbia, Missouri is a destination that we want to go back and forth to?
Well, I you know, they are competing against a company called Allegiant Airlines. It's basically, I think it's a new business model for Frontier Airlines. And they saw this as a place that has a lot of pent-up demand. And so they came in to us. We're not giving them a revenue guarantee. We are abating some landing fees to get them here. The advantage to us is that we can market Columbia Regional Airport to a substantially larger area. We have very little market share from our folks who live in Lake of the Ozarks. Our market share from Jefferson City is you know, it's under 10%. I mean, the flyers are driving to St. Louis and Kansas City. This gives us the opportunity to offer fairly opportunistic fares. You know, I bought a couple of round-trip tickets for January for $79 each way.
Yeah.
And there are some who say that as mayor I probably only need a one-way ticket, but that's kind of another story. But again, this allows us to offer inexpensive tickets to a much broader area, and we can market our airport to people who otherwise would not have given us a thought. We are obviously cognizant of the fact that Frontier Airline, that Delta serves Atlanta and that Atlanta serves Orlando. And we certainly do not want to damage our relationship with Delta Airline. They are so very important to our present and to our future. But this is two flights a week. Orlando is not a huge destination for Delta Airlines. So I think it's going to be a successful relationship. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to just think about the fact that where does Frontier have a major hub? Well, it's Denver.
And is there any indication from the people at Frontier that that is a logical assumption for people in Columbia to make that, okay, Frontier goes to Denver, we want to go to Denver, that might happen? I mean, have you received indication that that we should be hoping in that direction, or is that—
I would say that to not expect anything substantive in the near future for Denver.
Right.
And, you know, I'll just say this. We're in very active negotiations with a couple of major providers. And no, you're not going to get much out of me about that. But I think the outlook for expanding air service in Columbia is very good.
Right. Yeah, because when the city manager was on our program last January, he said, oh, we're definitely going to get a second destination soon. And we were quite surprised by that. And then, sure enough, there are two cities we were not flying to that we now can get on a plane and go there from this market. So so you're saying that it's likely that something like that would be in the works?
Well, you know, I've learned, you know, in this business that until the signatures are on the dotted line that you can't count on anything. And but we are actively working. I think, you know, we obviously are interested in Chicago because of the university needs. We obviously are interested in a westward connection since we have a lot of travel west. And it's great that we're expanding into Atlanta, but flying into Atlanta to get to Sacramento is not going to be a very efficient route.
Right.
So I think, you know, when you look at the four busiest airports in the country, you're looking at number one is Atlanta-Hartsfield. Number two is Chicago-O'Hare. Number three is Los Angeles, which we will not be in the market for because it's just simply too far for what we're going. Number four is Dallas-Fort Worth. So I think you can just look at the obvious background and make a guess as to what our focus is.
But I think the gentleman from Delta put it just was right on, and that is they're sitting there to see how we're filling these planes. They're looking at Delta. They're going to look at how Frontier, how quickly they filled those planes. And the travelers of Columbia have got to support those. I mean, all the efforts in the world aren't going to be successful if the market's not there.
Now, you said some of the businesses have agreed to use the flights in and out mm-hmm. of Columbia. What does that mean? What kind of a commitment is that?
You know, some time ago, the airlines were asking for ticket revenue or ticket guarantees. They wanted to say, okay, from a business standpoint, how many tickets will you use this year? They don't do that so much anymore. They've switched to the revenue guarantee model. But we still wanted to show to these airlines the commitment from the business community. So we just did a quick request, can we use your name? And immediately, in about a day, we had close to 200 businesses that said, absolutely, we will fly Columbia if the fares are reasonable and the reliability is there, then it is going to be our preferred hotel or preferred airport. So that is what we're hoping. And I think that the business community has shown us they will do that.
And what about the university? I mean, the university, there's a lot of airline travel associated with the university, faculty attending conferences, people coming in for job interviews, things like that. Has the university been willing to be a player in that sort of?
Yes, they have, and they will be part of the revenue guarantee. There's two parts to the revenue guarantee. Number one is the major airlines want it. They want to make sure they're not going to lose money when they take a chance on a new market. But the second part of the revenue guarantee is now we have a skin in the game fund. I mean, if your bank has put some money into this, you're more likely to encourage your clients, employees to use the airport. Similarly for the University of Missouri, by contributing to the revenue fund, they have skin in the game. We don't want this guarantee fund to be a subsidy. We want the money is at risk. But we want to return all of this money back to the lenders. Yeah. And by jointly having skin in the game, by jointly marketing this, by jointly understanding that this is a use-it-or-lose-it proposition, we think we are in a very strong position for success.
Okay, I'm going to stop us there and remind everyone this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about ongoing efforts to expand air traffic at the airport. With me are Columbia Mayor Bob McDavid and Executive Vice President of the Columbia Chamber of Commerce, Christy Ray. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. We hope that you'll stick around. And welcome back. This is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about ongoing efforts to expand service at Columbia Regional Airport. Joining me in the studio are Columbia Mayor Bob McDavid and Executive Vice President of the Columbia Chamber of Commerce, Christy Ray. For those of you in our audience, what cities would you like to see direct air service to from the airport in Columbia? Give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. Feel free to call in as well if you have questions for our panelists. Again, the number, 573-882-8925. We were talking a little bit about, over the break, about the way that airlines kind of run their business model. And I wonder, Mayor McDavid, if you could just fill in our listeners a little bit about what you just said with regard to the pricing of airline tickets and how that makes this complicated.
Well, I think each of us have had the experience of going on Travelocity or Expedia one day and finding a $250 ticket to a location and then go back on it 2 days later and find out that the ticket is $600. So there are market factors which change fare structures by the hour, by the day. And I think, and I don't know what their algorithm is. Probably each one has a different algorithm. We know they monitor each other's fares. You know, their fares are tied to a competitor like Southwest and can change through the day. So that makes it difficult for us to know what the market rate is. What are we going to have to capture in revenue to guarantee a flight to, you know, you pick the location? What we do know, in their quarterly reports, the airlines do publish their cost structure. Now they do it in different ways, but they tend to report it as either the amount of revenue they averaged per seat per mile. United, for example, segregates it out to the regional planes, which are more expensive. You know, the 50-passenger regional jets that we have are twice as expensive to operate as those Airbuses, which are flying 1,500-mile trips, because the landing and the takeoff is inefficient. So, for example, United Airlines, their average revenue per seat per mile is about 13 cents. You can do the math on a trip to, you know, L.A. or to or to Denver or whatever. But their average revenue on the regionals is 22 cents. And the shorter the trip is, well, you would expect to pay less, but you have a less efficient route because planes are much more efficient to operate once they're up at 35,000 feet. So that's the complicating factor of it. So, you know, it's 315 miles to Chicago. It's 490 miles to Dallas. So we got a lot of math to do. We got to figure out how much people are willing to pay, because when we make this guarantee, if we have the opportunity to make a revenue guarantee, we want to make a guarantee on a business model or a pricing model that citizens are going to be willing to use. What do we think that is? Well, I think, you know, it costs money to drive to St. Louis. It costs money to park in St. Louis. It takes time to go to St. Louis. And if you have an early morning flight, you're going to pay for a hotel. So there are substantial expenses to fly out of St. Louis and Kansas City. Plus, St. Louis and Kansas City have lost a lot of direct flights. I mean, there are a lot of destinations you have out of St. Louis and Kansas City where you're going to stop someplace. So that creates an opportunity for us. We believe that if we can come up with a fare structure under $80 premium for a trip from St. Louis, then we will be in great shape. And if we can get that fare differential down to $60, all the better. The Frontier differential is probably going to be non-existent.
And how did that happen? How did it end up that there's a flight in and out of Orlando without there being a revenue guarantee, when we're talking about revenue guarantees for other flights?
You know, I have not talked to decision makers at Frontier. They obviously are moving into a different business model. And their model is that they have these bigger, fuel-efficient planes, and they're just going to go in and out of medium-sized markets a couple of times a week, assuring that these big planes will be full. So they expect to run a more efficient operation. Allegiant Airlines, which flies in and out of Springfield, competes with Frontier in Orlando, and Allegiant has a big business or has a big model through Las Vegas. In other words, the planes stay in Las Vegas, and they fly out of Las Vegas to pick up some people and let people off and then fly right back. Mm-hmm. And they do that a couple of times a day. That's an interesting model. From an economic standpoint, I've not noticed that people come back from Las Vegas with more economically sound than they went to Las Vegas. So what I'm interested in, though, are those entrepreneurs that are interested in flying into Columbia to contribute jobs, our university faculty who can travel in and out, students who can be recruited to the city. So the traditional model is our focus.
Right. I think the mayor has done the mayor and his team have done a very good job, too, because you have to understand these airlines know what's going on in these communities. And they're seeing an over 80% ridership with Delta. They notice that. They notice that the planes that are coming in and out of Columbia right now are full. They're starting to see articles and different reporters are doing a nice job of telling the story of what Columbia is trying to do. So I think the other airlines are starting to notice that. They are finally seeing Columbia as a market that could be very successful for them. You sometimes just have to keep it, you got to keep people talking about it.
I think also, and I don't know how they do it, but it would be very easy to monitor pricing through a computer model. I mean, they know what Delta is getting for Atlanta. I mean, they can come up with a program to price Expedia. They'll know what they're getting, and they can take their hubs. I mean, Delta has their major hub is Atlanta. They have the biggest hub in the world. Atlanta's the biggest airport in the world. Well, United's biggest hub is Chicago, and American's biggest hub is Dallas-Fort Worth. Delta has a smaller hub in Salt Lake City. They also have an international hub in Detroit. You know, people always ask, well, what about Southwest? We're not really in the market for Southwest because they only fly 737s, and they're looking for service areas in the 750,000 population range, and we're just not at this point big enough for them. So we don't play in their sandbox. Right. So we're pursuing other options.
And who else is out there besides the big three that you mentioned and Southwest? I mean, Frontier, obviously, we already talked about them. Who else is on the table as possibilities? I mean, that's part of the problem, right? There are a lot fewer airlines than there used to be.
Right. There's a lot of consolidation. Mm-hmm. Continental merged with United. American is going to undergo bankruptcy reorganization. They have to take $1 billion a year out of their cost structure. And most people believe they will be merging with U.S. Air. We're seeing a lot of consolidation. We're seeing load factors, which is the percent of seats that are filled, go up. That will create a healthier airline industry, but that also will take away some of the competition. You know, we're not going to see cutthroat airfares anymore. And whenever you're seeing that, that's great for us if we're going to that location. But we all obviously have to understand that that type of cutthroat competition means there's two airlines losing money. And bankruptcy is just all so common in the airline industry.
Yeah. And I mean, that came out in the consultant report that was released at the beginning of the year that, you know, markets our size, they're, I think the consultant said something around 100 markets our size might not have air service in another 15 or 20 years.
One of the things that really captured my attention was a report by a consultant by the name of Michael Boyd, who his position is that there's 450 airports in the country and that by the year 2020 there'll be 200. And that if you're not if you don't have 150,000 passengers a year, you're not going to have an airport. Well, you know, we're at 70,000 each year. So the target is all over us.
And that's the people coming in and leaving the airport, right?
Right. And so you can report it as total passengers or enplanements. I guess for me, I'm more interested in deplaning than I am in enplaning. But the fact is, when we started this initiative, one of the models we looked at is, well, what can we expect? What kind of market share can we expect? Okay, let's say there's 1,000 people flying out of Mid-Missouri every day. How many of them can we capture? Well, we looked at Bloomington, Illinois. They're about our size. Their county's about our size. Now, they are surrounded on the periphery. You go 50, 60 miles out, and you get towns like Peoria, Champaign. So they have 1.9 million people within 60 miles. But they each have their own airport. But the point is, they have succeeded in capturing 40% of their market share. So of the people in that their area, 40% fly out of their airport. So their flight schedule is 14 flights a day.
And what did they do to succeed in that way?
Well, they first of all, they built a nice terminal, and they just went after each airline one by one. I mean, this is about competition. This is about incentives. This is about making guarantees, and this is about selling yourself. When you get into the room, you are promoting Columbia. You know, you're talking about the university. You're talking about the rapid economic growth of Columbia. You're talking about the rapid growth of the student population in Columbia. I mean, Columbia really is an exciting place to be economically, and they take note of that. So it's a very important thing that they consider.
I think it's important, too, when we were discussing Michael Boyd, the consultant, and the Boyd report that he gave us, mm-hmm. you know, he was telling us about the airlines that could lose service. But he was also, we jokingly refer to him as Dr. Doom of the airline industry, because a lot of his job is to go in and tell regional airports, you're done, you can't do this anymore. Well, he looked at Columbia and looked at it totally different. I mean, the fact that just 4 years ago, we were part of the Essential Air Service program, and because of our success in this market, we came off of EAS. They jokingly say it was the black hole. You never come out of EAS. And Columbia was able to do that. So I think part of why you're starting to see the focus is we're not trying to save a sinking ship here. We're actually in a situation with this airport where other airlines are recognizing that we could be very successful here, and we're trying to be more aggressive with that because we do not believe we're one of the airlines or airports that will not have service.
Right.
EAS, Essential Air Service, is a federal government grant program to entice airlines to go into smaller communities where there's no business model for that. In 2008, we had, for 2 months in Columbia, Missouri, no air service. Delta came in with, it's really a guarantee from the federal government, Essential Air Service. They came in. It was very successful. That was on the flights to Memphis. They were successful enough that they chose not to continue on the EAS program because it would have required bidding it out again, and they didn't want to bid it. They thought that the market was economically viable as a standalone entity. And so we are unique in having gone from no service through EAS service to a rapidly expanding flight service option.
Right. Mayor McDavid, you mentioned the airport terminal. One of the things that was in the report from Michael Boyd was sort of an emphasis on the revenue guarantees as the really key thing that needed to happen. And he actually, I think in the report, sort of downplayed the terminal as a driver of more airline business. And yet there's still a big push for a new airport terminal.
Right. That's a great point. The individual airlines are not taking tours of terminals when they decide where to go. They assume that the passengers will get on the plane and they'll get off the plane. And it is really not a key part of their decision making. For us, it's an important part of providing the service because, you know, we don't have any place for people to sit. We're not ADA compliant. This was a great little airport in 1969, terminal in 1969, but now we have TSA taking more than 50% of the space that we used to have for passengers. So right now we have a couple of double wides where we can seat 125 people waiting on an airline. Well, the Frontier plane seats 138. So we're changing things, bringing in temporary facilities. We don't want to be the double-wide airport that the people in the SEC come into. And so it's sort of like this. There's a fork in the road here for the community, and we have to decide if we want an airport or not. And if we want an airport, then we're going to have an airport. We're going to have to guarantee providers to come in, and we're going to have to build a terminal. We have a non-functional terminal at this point. I will say this, the Chamber of Commerce has been very active in working with us. They have basically three teams, one of which is a team helping to recruit airlines. The second team is looking at the facilities themselves, how to deal with them. And the third is a team that will deal with marketing. We understand that if we open up more airline service, that we have to market this service. We have to make sure that people who have the habit of going to St. Louis forego that habit when you get a cheaper way to fly out of Columbia. And so they're looking at this from all three tiers. So the terminal will have to be addressed, and it'll have to be addressed promptly in the event that we come up with more service.
Let me just make sure I understand clearly what you said there, that the new terminal isn't necessarily vital to attracting additional air service, but it's more about providing a good flight experience for people in this market.
Right. We have double wides right now, and we don't have enough double wides. We absolutely have to increase our capacity, and it's really not funny that we bought our double wides from Chris Belcher in Columbia Public Schools. I'm not very proud of that, but we did, and you can put all the black and gold banners you want out there, but you still have visitors from the Southeast Conference coming into a black and gold double wide.
Well, it's just interesting because, I mean, if you go back in the history, last time you were on the program, I think these numbers came up that in the 70s there were, you know, 50 or 60,000 people going back and forth through the airport, close to, what, 1.5-2 times what is going through now, and it was the same airport terminal. So it's just interesting that we're now at a place where a lot fewer people going through there.
You didn't have TSA requirements then. Back when we had that, you did not have TSA doing the screening that they did and the amount of space that requires now. And so that made a big difference.
Right.
You've taken up all the space. Yeah. And if you go to basic amenities, our restaurant is up a flight of stairs. Well, that's obviously not ADA compliant. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's time for a new terminal.
Now, your idea for funding it is to increase the tax associated with hotel rooms, right?
We'll approach that. Let's see if we can get some more. You know, if we don't get more air service, we don't need a new terminal.
That's correct.
So our focus right now is on expanding our service to get into some other hubs. If we do that, we're going to have to do something about the terminal, and that'll go all the range from trying to add on to the existing terminal to saying, you know, look, it's time just to go on the other side of the airport and put up another terminal.
And people have to realize, too, the airport is not just the terminal. There's a very important part of the airport, and that's that runway, and making sure that it's safe and efficient. And the Columbia Regional Airport in the city of Columbia, they have a 20-year master plan, and they have been very diligent these last few years and going into the next couple of years of making sure that those runways are you know, efficient and what they need to be. And so we have put a lot of emphasis on this airport, and it's not just on the terminal building. It's on the runway, it's on parking and everything else. And thank goodness for the FAA and their ability to work with us and help us with some of that funding. But we're about to the next step that we have to take.
I'd like to add to that. That's a very good point, because, you know, I do expect that there will be some criticism about the revenue guarantees, you know, precious city funds. You know, you're using it to guarantee flights. Well, you know, we've been spending, you know, we run a $1 million subsidy on the airport every year right now out of the general fund. I mean, we've spent $10 million on the airport over the last 10 years. The Highway 63 overpass and improvements are $14 million more. We're in the line for $40 million of runway improvements. And so I guess for me, it would be nice to, if you're going to go through all that, it would be nice to have some airplanes there. So that's why the focus is, that's why I'm saying this is a fork in the road. We either are in the airline business or we're not. The runway expansion is critical. The crosswind runway is basically in disrepair. It certainly cannot land a jet. The main runway is, I don't know, I think it's 6,800 feet. We want to extend that to 7,400, you know, 6,800 was long enough to land Air Force won a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And in our presentation and where we present what we have here, we do always show a picture of Air Force One at Columbia Regional Airport, which is basically saying, well, you know, we did land this airplane here. So we think we can land yours.
Interesting. I just want to remind everyone again, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about the ongoing efforts to expand service at Columbia Regional Airport. Joining me in the studio are Columbia Mayor Bob McDavid, along with Executive Vice President of the Columbia Chamber of Commerce, Christy Ray. For those of you in our audience, we have a few minutes left if you want to call in and ask a question about the airport or share your experience traveling through Columbia Regional. Give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. We kind of glossed over the raising the money part, and I want to just get back to that a little bit because there has been a lot of conversation about the proposal to increase a hotel tax to help pay for the airport. And I just wonder, in terms of that, if that weren't the way that money got raised for the airport, where else might it come from?
The Chamber has, we've put together, we've been spending the last few months researching what are all the pools of money out there and how can we support this airport. The lodging tax increase is obviously one that's on the table as a possibility. But again, we have not, we're not just going down that road. We've really looked at everything from, are we taking advantage of every FAA grant possible and looking at what other communities are doing to build their airport? We have researched airports in Bloomington. We're looking at one in Saginaw, Michigan. We're looking at one in Springfield, Missouri, Manhattan, Kansas. I mean, we have really looked, and each one of those is funded in their terminal improvements and their air services funded differently. So there is no one perfect model. So what we're trying to do is look at everything. Look at all of the amenities out there. Are we charging appropriately for all of that? You know, tough conversation to have because we all love our paid or our free parking, but is that a revenue source that we're missing out on that could help us? And so the Chamber is saying, let's look at every possible angle we can and finding out what's going to work best for our airport because, again, there is no one perfect model.
Right. Mayor McDavid, any other ideas or thoughts on funding it?
Well, let me say this, that any revenue increase to fund the terminal will go before the vote of the people. I mean, the council will approve putting it on a ballot, and so any airport terminal expansion of any substance is going to require approval by the voters. That's assuming that there's not this magic pool out there.
That's right.
With money waiting, and I've visited our congressional delegation in Washington, D.C., and I learned very quickly that nobody can – you're ushered out of the building almost if you use the word entitlement. So it's a different environment from Washington, D.C. We're not going to march in and they're going to say, here's $50 million for a terminal. It's not going to happen.
Right.
You just have to be very strategic in how you do it, and that's where the city is doing a very good job of actually saying, okay, if we can get an FAA grant for the runway, then that frees up some of our local money for a terminal. If we can get, the overpass, then that helps us. I mean, it's been an absolute putting a puzzle together of each piece falling into place. And so, you know, no stone is going unturned on this, I can tell you that.
Right. What about the revenue guarantees? I mean, the city manager suggested $3 million would be a good figure to try to come up with. The Chamber of Commerce has got a goal of $1 million of that. Where would those other $2 million potentially come from?
Well, I'm not going to. That's a sort of a dynamic pool. I will say this: that a substantial amount will come from the city. Money will come from the University of Missouri. They have pledged to help fund it. The Boone County, in a negotiation with BJC Healthcare, with the Boone Hospital Board of Trustees did negotiate, I think it's public, that $500,000 contribution to this escrow fund. I'm going to be I've had conversations with the mayor of Jefferson City. I'm going to go before their city council next week and just to see if they're willing to put something into the guarantee fund. Again, I think the important thing is that we structure this so that the money is returned. There will not be a guarantee. But again, we think we're going to put together an economic model that is extraordinarily likely to be successful and that it would please me to no end to be able to return 100% of that guarantee back to the lenders at the conclusion of the 2 years.
And you heard the gentleman from Delta start with that. I mean, the revenue guarantees are important to the airlines, but they're still looking to see if that market's going to be viable. They don't want to just come in and take the money and leave. I mean, they are looking for a market that will sustain for many years to come, not just for the amount of time on the revenue guarantee.
Yeah, which makes sense that the guarantee is just there in case it doesn't make the profit, but ideally it would be profitable enough to not need to pay out, right?
Absolutely. I think the need – I'm going to tell you another little anecdote, which usually do put into a conversation like this fairly early. We, the University of Missouri and Ready negotiated with an animal health industry company out of Spain and using the assets of the University of Missouri as a key catalyst to try to drive that company to locate in the United States. They were going to locate in the United States. And we thought we were going to get them. There's 220 jobs, 100 of them. Were production jobs. So this is not just all PhD chemists and biologists. These somebody's got to produce, run the machines that produce the product. And you know, where would these people come from? Well, some of them would have been come from Columbia. Some of the employees would have been from Jeff City. Some of them would have been from Fulton, which points out the regional impact, economic impact the airport does have. Jefferson City, for example, is trying to build up a convention center business. Well, they got to figure out how to get people from Seattle, Washington, into Jefferson City without having them drive 3 hours. So this company, we thought we had, and their CEO notified us that they had decided that they were going to choose a location that was within 1 hour drive. You had to be 1 hour drive from one stop to Barcelona. And we weren't.
Right.
And we were redlined on that basis. And who gets the deal? Ames, Iowa. They're 45 minutes from Des Moines. Des Moines had a nonstop to JFK. JFK had a nonstop to Barcelona. So that's 220 jobs of a substantial economic impact and a big effect on the university that we lost purely because of our lack of air service.
Right. Unfortunately, we're going to have to stop there. That's all the time that we have for today. I want to thank our guests today, Columbia Mayor Bob McDavid, also Executive Vice President from the Columbia Chamber of Commerce, Christy Ray, and also Trevor Banstetter, Senior Manager for Corporate Communications for Delta Airlines. We'd like to remind those of you enjoying this as a rebroadcast that Intersection takes place live for a full hour from 2 to 3 every Monday. You can join us each Monday afternoon by listening to KBIA or by going online to kbia.org and following the link for Intersection. There you'll be able to watch a video feed of our program, submit your questions and your comments, and also participate in an online chat with others in the audience. You'll also find a video archive of all of our past programs, including the full hour of today's conversation. Intersection is broadcast from the Reynolds Journalism Institute and is a project of RJI and KBIA. Today's program was produced by Raymond Tungekar. Travis McMillan is our technical director with production assistance from Danny Madison. Pat Akers is our audio producer. I'm Ruben Stern. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.